Gail Romasanta, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Laura.
So this is the first children's book written about the United Farm Workers co-founder, Larry Itliong, who played a large role, obviously, in the civil rights movement for labor workers in the Central Valley. What made you want to be a part of even writing this book and kind of putting this history in a format for children?
You know, this is actually the first book written about Larry Itliong. After all these years, this is the only book, and Dr. Don Mabalon was the leading historian researching him and his work and writing about him. And so what made me want to do it really was out of a need to solve my own problems at home, because my kids would come home and they needed to write about a famous person, and they would have lists of people and no one that they could identify with. And I searched and looked for a book about Larry Itliong, and there was none. And I kind of knew that there was no book about him, but I was floored when there it turned out to be true. You know, after all the years that I knew there wasn't a book about him, I was floored that there still wasn't a book about him. And so I called Dawn about writing the children's book. She was writing the college version of her research on Larry. And she said yes. So we went to work on it right away. We wanted to write it before someone wrote it incorrectly, or someone that was not from the community wrote it incorrectly.
Filipino community, you mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. So we felt like we needed to be the ones. Don was the one who was researching him for decades and piecing together his story. We were afraid that if someone else did it, they would put out the incorrect history, mm-hmm. Or they would, silence us again, mm-hmm. With incorrect facts.
Okay, so you wanted to be a part of writing this book, in essence, to really tell the story of this leader from the Filipino community and from the Central Valley who is really important. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about who Larry Itliong was? So I know that he's buried in Delano, but he immigrated from the Philippines. And how does the Central Valley fit into his story?
When he got to the United States, he was 15 years old, and he boarded the Empress of Asia, a boat or ship with everyone coming here. And then he went to Seattle. And then he went all over as a farm laborer. And then he also worked in Alaska. And he was a laborer. He had started other unions and other organizations. For instance, in Alaska, he had started a union for the cannery workers. And he really was an activist. He was a union organizer, but he was also, you know, just an activist for the community from the get-go. And so being the leader for the Delano grape strike wasn't just in that time and moment. He was doing this for most of his life. And so he had actually been the leader for the Delano grape strike, and the Filipino American farm workers had voted September 7th, 1965 to go on strike against the growers. Larry had called Cesar Chavez to invite the Mexican American workers to go on strike with them. And so the Mexican American workers joined the strike. And that's when the Delano grape strike happened. And then, they formed together, the Mexican Americans and the Filipinos, joined together. And the UFW was started with Cesar as the director and Larry as the co-director. All these years, we've heard stories about Cesar, and we've read, and communities have talked about the importance of the UFW and Cesar Chavez and what had gone on during the Delano grape strike. But there is really, I want to say, a lack of recognition of Larry and his work and of Filipino Americans, so much so that AB 123 had to be passed. I don't know if you're familiar with AB 123.
Oh, yeah, explain that for us.
So Rob Bonta, he's an assembly member, California assembly member in Alameda. He actually wrote AB 123, and it was signed. And so it is for California public schools to recognize the contributions of Filipino Americans when you talk about the farm labor movement.
Wow.
Can you believe that? We have been so ignored and so left out of history that there actually had to be a law in the state of California to make it so that the California legislature had to pass the requirement of the teaching of Filipino contributions to the farm workers movement in public schools. Mm-hmm. And so that happened in 2013. In 2015, the state declared October 25th as Larry Ilyang Day.
Wow. Yeah, that really leads into my next question, which is just how, so those are the efforts now to really bring Larry Ilyang's story and the Filipino involvement and all of this back into the limelight. But I'm curious, right. Why in the first place maybe was he overlooked?
You know, that is actually, there's so many reasons. And I had asked Dawn this, like one of the first things, one of our first meetings, I was like, girl, why have we not been talked about? Why is Larry's work,
almost like he's absent from that narrative of
yes, absolutely. And so, you know, it was because there was no book. Philip Veracruz, who was also part of that movement, has a book. He had written his own book and Larry didn't. And also there's many different things that might have been going on. The media may not have wanted to get him on camera, or they didn't want to forward the story. It wasn't sexy enough to have an aging farm workers to highlight them in media reels, because the Filipinos were an older workforce. And Larry was older, so maybe it wasn't, they didn't want to put them on camera, or they didn't want to forward that story or that narrative. It wasn't one reason. He was interviewed. We do know that. There's transcripts at the UFW archives at Wayne State University in Detroit. I mean, there's archives of him doing interviews, but they were shelved. They were not used.
I know that civil rights and social justice is a concept that, you know, gets kind of brought up quite a lot these days, I think, in different areas, but it's something adults talk about a lot. I'm curious, why did you think this was something you could make for kids? Or did you feel like you had to pare it down a little bit? How did you make this something that kids could definitely grasp?
I think we first had to do a vomit draft. We had to put everything out there of all the history that Dawn had in her mind, in her notes, everything that she collected. And she's a professional historian. So it wasn't like she read this information anywhere. She actually had to find it. She had to find it through public records. She had to find it through court documents. She found it through letters, and not just letters from Larry, but letters of other people talking about certain issues or certain situations or things that happened. She had to get them from meeting notes. She got transcripts. I mean, just a wealth of information that Dawn had to look through. And Dawn would always say, like, these are the things that people would throw away or were garbage, but it's actually historical documentation of what had happened. So she actually knitted all of this together. It wasn't, I mean, when you read this book and when you look this book, you have to understand a Pinay PhD from Stanford knit all this information together. So any story that comes after this first book about Larry Ilyang, all that information that people are getting about Larry is going to come from this book. There is no other historian that was writing about Larry and really finding the information like Dr. Don Mabalon was. And you know, why we wanted to do it for kids, why I wanted to do it for kids. At first, you know, Dawn was just going to do a college book, but I really wanted to do it for kids because no one was demanding that our Filipino American history gets to our children at the youngest age that we possibly can get it to. Right now, the only access we have to our Filipino American history that is taught in colleges, that is taught, at institutions that is institutionalized somewhere, is just at the college level. It's not at, you know, our children who are, you know, from K through 14 or K through 12. So I felt that that is very important as someone who wrote about education, as a writer about education, which is what I've done in my own career and as a writer in general, and as a mom of four children. This was very important to me. And the fact that I have a book called Beautiful Eyes. It's a bilingual children's book that reinforces for the caregivers and families and for children K through 2 that they are beautiful. Filipino Americans. I wrote that and it took so long to get it published. But when it got published, it got picked up at San Francisco Unified School District, and they use it by way of Pinoy-Pinay Educational Partnership. So they started using it in curriculum, and it was voted in by the school board.
Can you explain really quick, what is Pinoy and Pinay curriculum? Or what does that word mean?
PEP is an organization. So it's Pinoy-Pinay Educational Partnerships. And so Pinoy-Pinay is actually a term for, male Filipino or female Filipino.
Okay.
So PEP, which is an organization that actually started ethnic studies, and it was started by Dr. Allison Tintianco Cubales. And she started ethnic studies at San Francisco Unified School District over 10 years ago, over a decade now. And she actually has written the teacher's guide for Journey for Justice, along with three other teachers. It was a fine team putting together. We're going to be launching the teacher's guide during our Delano event, February 8th through 10th.
Oh, great. Yeah. So you have these events coming up later this week in Delano as you kick off your book tour, along with, as you just mentioned, that teacher's guide. But if people choose to attend some of these events happening, what should they expect?
There's going to be so much happening. On Friday, we're going to be giving free books to three elementary schools. And then we're going to be doing a Q&A with me over at Bakersfield College. And we'll have the books there for a book signing. Saturday, the book signing at Bakersfield College Delano campus, there's going to be a catered dinner. So people come by, ask some questions, have some dinner, and it's free to the public. And a big thank you to California Endowment, who's paying for all of our meals during this 3-day event. We're having breakfast, which is paid for, and then a historical tour through, thank you to Delano Union School District. They're providing the school buses that is going to bring everybody to tour Delano. And then after that, we're going to be presenting the book to Delano, the city of Delano, Delano Union School District, and to the Larry Itliong family. And then we're going to have children's readings, and there are students from the elementary schools doing reader's theater. And then we have lunch, which is also free. And then we're going to move everything over to the high school, the RFK High School, where we'll have free dinner and live performances. So live dance performances and musical performances. We have rapper Rocky Rivera on board. And she's well-known in our community and outside of our community. She has a great following, so she will also be there. Also, on one of our panels, we have Ricky Nierva coming, and this is all happening on Saturday. And if people are not familiar with Ricky Nierva's work, he is actually the illustrator behind Up, the movie Up. Oh, so wow. He had created and sketched out those characters. Also, Monsters, Inc. He has actually one of the best-selling golden books for the Monsters, Inc. series, and he wrote that. So he also illustrated the Monsters, M is for Monster book for Disney. And, he worked on so many Pixar movies. And so he was one of the creative heads over there. He is now independent and working within the community. So we have him here to talk about how to spread Filipino American history on a larger scale that is not in our backyard. And we also have Long Distance Radio there, Paola Mardo. She has a podcast that just got picked up by Google, and it's going to be incubated by Google. So she will be there also talking with Ricky Nierva. We have participants in the march, the original Delano Grape Strike March, that will be there. They'll be talking about their experiences. We have educators there talking about, on another panel, talking about how do we institutionalize our Filipino American history. And we also have the launching and a demonstration of the teacher's guide that is connected to Journey for Justice.
Wow, it sounds like a really packed but very exciting weekend.
Yes, so that's Saturday. And then Sunday is Dawn's Memorial Lunch. We're going to be having a lunch at Filipino Hall, which is also free. And we have live music there. And then well-known poet, Patrick Rizal, he's coming in from the East Coast. He's a visiting scholar right now from Princeton, and he's going to come by and do poetry about Manongs there. So it'll be a very kind of a beautiful, it's a very well-curated event. Again, people stop by, listen, ask questions. All the food is free. So you've got dinner on Friday night. You've got breakfast Saturday. You've got lunch on Saturday. You've got dinner on Saturday. And then on Sunday, you have lunch again. And then also, if you're going to be going to church, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe, we will also be dedicating a mass to Don and Larry there also, the 10:30 a.m. mass, I believe, before lunch.
Wow. I'm sure it will be a really awesome, exciting, and just beautiful weekend. And I think this is a great place where we're going to have to leave it. But we have been talking about the recently published children's book, Journey for Justice, The Life of Larry Itliong. It was written by Dr. Don Mabalon and Gail Romasanta, illustrated by Andre Sabayon. The book's tour kickoff and Delano pilgrimage start this Friday, and those events will continue throughout the weekend. But Gail Romasanton, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, and thank you for having me, Laura.